You may remember 3 weeks ago we heard from Luke's gospel, Jesus say, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." As you heard in this reading, it begins with Jesus teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. What do we suppose he was teaching? If there are any students here gleefully looking forward to the start of school, you might imagine it might be math or science or English or something like that. But more likely, I think he was teaching about the kingdom that the Father was giving to the world. There he was, heading to Jerusalem, somehow knowing what lay in store for him, his passion and death. Even knowing that, he was not thinking only of himself. He was teaching everyone along the way how to enter that kingdom of God with him. But it seems not everyone will enter the kingdom. The gate to the kingdom is not a mile wide. Actually, we hear that Jesus says it is not a large gate, but in fact, it is a narrow door. For the last 2 years now, the church has designated the year to a person or a theme. 2 years ago, it was the year of St. Paul. We are presently in the year of faith. You should be familiar now with the posters sent to each parish focusing on the year of faith. It shows the picture of a boy looking in through a large, narrow door into a church. On it are the words, Porta Fidei, or the door of faith. It also features the faces of some men from the diocese in formation to become priests. We assume that they looked in and went in. But that boy could be any one of us. He seems to be curious about what is inside. Maybe he's thinking, should I go in or not? It looks scary and dark and kind of quiet. But if I go in, I might learn about my faith and the church and the kingdom of God too. So he could represent one of those seminarians, or he could be one of us in this year of faith. And as the year comes to an end, and it will in October, are we any deeper into our faith than last year? Have we even given it a thought? The year is not over. There are still many things we can do if we look for them. Deacon Tom is leading a group this fall, and those who attend are hope to refresh and renew their faith. We can revive our personal prayer life, read one of the Gospels, and consider how it concerns us personally. All good things. But after doing one or all of these things, what if we show up at that narrow door and we hear the one inside, the Lord, say, "You don't look familiar to me. I don't know you. Go away from here." We have to be recognized by God. Of course, we will say, "Don't you remember I ate and drank with you and heard you teach?" The Lord will say, "Yes, you went to church, you received communion, but what did you learn from what I taught?" He might ask, "What did you take away from the meal with me? In fact, I don't remember seeing you when I ate with the poor, the lonely, the dying, and the ones nobody would speak to or be seen with on the street. Did you help the afflicted and remove the suffering of my brothers and sisters, including the ones far away in a foreign country, when given the chance?" Many of them have already passed through that narrow door ahead of you. The Lord may add, "Did you bring anyone with you, or did you plan to be alone in heaven?" If we have faith, we have to do faith. Obviously, eating and drinking with Jesus cannot be a casual affair. It's not good enough and not the way to pass through the narrow door to eat and drink and listen to Jesus teach for a few minutes and then wander away saying that's probably good enough. Notice in that first greeting, the Lord will welcome everybody, people from every nation, along with the children of Israel. And God will choose priests from all those nations to offer sacrifice. And not just the seminarians in the picture, and not just our pastor, Father Monahan. We are all meant to be priests. We are just not all ordained. When we come here to Mass, we offer the sacrifice of what we do with our lives along with Jesus' sacrifice. It is through the example of the dispersed people of Israel that the people of other nations will come to know the Lord. By our example, we are expected to lead others to the Lord. The author to the letter to the Hebrews asks if we have forgotten the exhortation that addresses us as children. A 3-year-old child may not like it when a parent keeps saying, "No, you cannot cross the street alone." A 16-year-old child or young adult may not like it when the parents say, "No, you can't do everything your peers do on the weekend." Discipline will seem like a punishment at the time, but eventually, usually, the child comes to see that the parents might have been right. Today, we should not see hardship, illness, troubled relationships, old age, misfortunes of any kind, even natural disasters, we should not see them as God's punishment. They are things that happen in life. And the challenge is to connect our suffering, our pains, to Christ's sufferings because he connects his with our eternal life. And I remember my mother often saying, "Oh my God, what did we do to deserve this?" And usually she was looking at one of her children. But we were able to convince her that anything we did was supposed to be a blessing for her. The letter to the Hebrews is addressed to my son, but today a writer would add, "my daughter." What makes us God's children? Jesus became one of us, so we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. And as we know, it is our baptism that makes us children of God, and baptism is the entrance into our faith. And it's nice to see you children here today who brought your families and friends with you to be part of your baptism. Our faith should tell us that we cannot exclude others. We must include others as Jesus did on the way to Jerusalem. The door is narrow, but passing through that door, God wants us to imagine that there is room for everyone in his kingdom. Us Catholics, non-Catholics, and even non-Christians. For others, God may have another name. But for us, it is Jesus, our Savior, who leads us through the door, that narrow door, into an immense joy.